If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Dark Forest. A shout-out to my channel members and my patrons. A shout-out to Matthew Bauer and Libertees. You guys rock and continue to support the Dark Forest in many ways. Now, let's get spooky. Let me start this by saying this is based off an encounter with a specific cryptid I heard growing up. This did happen in Mammoth Cave National Park, if you believe in cryptids, that is. I'll leave that up to you all to decide. Names and dates have been changed to protect the identity of the individual along with the ending. They are happy and healthy to this very day. I hope you all enjoy. Stay Out of Mammoth Cave National Park by Trevor Murray. I have always loved the woods, ever since I was a small child. I have found more comfort in them than anywhere else. It wasn't until my adult life that this changed. It all started on a normal camping trip during a cold November weekend. Most people would have canceled the trip due to it recently raining and with a high of 37 all weekend long. However, I enjoy the extra challenge. The trip was to Mammoth Cave National Park in South Central Kentucky. For those of you who aren't in the know, Mammoth Cave is the largest cave system in the world, with a beautiful national park full of amazing trails and places to go canoeing and all your other favorite outdoor activities. This is, of course, on the surface level. Many locals know not to go on the north side of the park at night alone, or even in a small group. Quite a few people have gone missing over the years, and very seldom is it on the south side of the park. The park is split down the middle by the Green River, which stretches across the park from east to west, which connects Nolan Lake and Green River Lake, both of which being popular spots during the summer for camping. Everyone's uncle had seen Bigfoot in these woods. Heck, I'm sure they all had shared a sandwich a time or two. I've never believed in the paranormal. I think it all can be explained away with logic and reasoning. Saw a ghost? Yeah, right. That's just your brain imagining it. Did that light just turn off on its own? Sure. You might want to call the electrician to fix the crappy job the first electrician did while the house was being built. In saying that, I will admit that I did enjoy a good story. Especially creepy ones found across the internet. Especially those of the local urban legend across Kentucky of the Goatman or the Barilla. For those who don't know what the Barilla is, it is a local legend in South Central Kentucky about an animal frequently seen at Native American burial grounds and local cemeteries at the edge of small towns. It's described to have short black gray fur with a massive waist and even larger arms. It didn't get the name Barilla for nothing. Its head is being described as one of a large wolf with long pointy ears, amber eyes, and short stubby snout. Some have described it more along the lines of what a stereotypical werewolf would look like. And for the Goatman, well, we have all heard that take before. I don't think it needs any introduction. Anyways, back to the camping trip. I was going alone this time. I thought about bringing my son along, as he had just recently turned 13, and I felt more comfortable taking him on longer, harsher trips with minimal gear. He always seemed to enjoy camping, but this was out of his league. It was too cold, and the trail was too harsh and unforgiving for anyone without proper experience. The trip itself was over the course of 2 days. The first was hiking up to the site, which was set up on the highest point of the park. The next day, of course, was a slow hike back, which in all honesty, would have been even more dangerous due to the rapid drop in elevation combined with the cold, slick mud and clay that had been found on the trail. I always made sure to pack lightly on hiking trips like this to really push myself when it came to my survival skills. On this trip, I carried with me a small knife, 2 50-foot cord strands of 550 paracord, my tent and sleeping bag, and some iodine tablets to purify the water of any harmful bacteria found in the water, a small flashlight, really only strong enough to illuminate 10 to 15 feet in front of me, and then of course a fire starter and duct tape. Overall, I packed more than I normally would for such a trip. However, with the recent birth of my second child a few months ago, I started to take less risks and packed more each time. For food, I brought with me a pack of beef jerky and some granola bars. That's really all I needed to feed my slim frame of 150 pounds at 5'11". Time came for me to leave for my trip. Getting into my truck, I felt a cold feeling wash over me, like a sixth sense telling me not to go on this trip, but I ignored it. I had already taken off work the 2 days I would be gone, and I'm not about to waste the few precious vacation days I got each year. The drive itself should only take about 3 hours, depending on the ferry still used by the park. The ferry was the quickest and easiest way to get across to the north side of the park without adding an extra 2 to 3 hours onto the drive. It was a common complaint to those who came on vacation from out of state. However, us locals usually took the chance to catch up on a new book or to double-check our gear in case we had forgotten to pack something while we were on the ferry to reach the south side boarding dock. I was currently reading A Game of Thrones for the third time. P.S. Danny is like 14, you pervs. I took the ferry only 45 minutes to get back to the south side, but when the crew stepped off, they went to each of our vehicles to tell us due to the increase in wind, and with the currents being strong today, there would be no more rides across the water today. Anyone wanting to get across would have to go around and take the bridge across, the closest one being an hour and a half drive away from the docks. This at the time had upset me, however, I understood why they couldn't risk the journey across to the other dock, and so I went on my way. It was a fairly long and boring drive. There was no use bringing my cell phone due to there being no signal anywhere in the park. Even on the tallest peak of the park, you would never get a signal. Yes, I know what people are going to say. You should still bring your cell phone when you go out camping. And to that, I agree, but I hated the distraction of it. It always pulled my attention from nature, and also I just didn't want to deal with another piece of equipment I would need to keep track of. Remember, in my mind, the lighter, the better. Originally, I had planned to get to the parking lot at the beginning of the trail by 9 a.m. However, it was now noon and I only had about a good 7 hours of daylight left. This meant I wouldn't be able to make it to the camping grounds at the end of the trail by nightfall. This isn't the first time this had happened to me, however. I always hated it when it did. Hiking up the steep incline, even in perfect conditions at night, was dangerous and heavily advised against by park rangers. So I would have to make do and set up camp at the first area I could find after sunset started, and wake up early tomorrow to catch up on the 3 hours I had lost due to the ferry. The first 3 hours of the hike went perfect. I saw a timber rattlesnake. If you ever visit the eastern United States, watch out for those. Not only are they big and strong for a snake, they are also very, and I mean very, venomous. Once I had hit the 5 hour mark on my hike, I had run out of water for the second time and needed to refill my bottle since it was the last chance you get until you make your way back down. I was going to go for about another 30 minutes or so before I made camp. There was a nice clearing up ahead that if I could get to it, then I would be in good shape to make up the lost time tomorrow. While refilling my water, I noticed paw prints in the mud about 7 feet off to my left on the bank. It was undoubtedly a canine print left from where I presumed was a coyote coming to stop by for some water within the last 24 hours. That was until I got closer to the print and realized just how massive it was. Now, I'm a smoker. I smoke around a pack a day, and well, this print was about 2 packs long and slightly bigger than 1 pack wide. Let me translate that for all the non-smoking listeners. Whatever made this print was massive. There's no way a coyote made this print. There aren't any wolves in Kentucky. There's also no dog breeds I know about that make prints that big. Whatever made this was massive. And well, I had no intentions on staying here by the river and wait for its return. I hurried back on the trail this time with more pep in my step, so that I could hurry and set up camp to offer some protection if whatever that thing that had made that print was still around. I made it to the clearing and set up camp just as the sunset was starting to fade into dusk. First, I quickly set up my tent and threw my sleeping bag inside, followed by starting a fire. If there was a predator out there in the woods, the fire would keep them at a distance for a while at least, so I thought. I next used my 2 strands of 550 paracord and tied them around the campsite at knee level to act as a tripwire for anyone or anything coming onto the campsite, to give myself a few more precious seconds of time to react. I finally sat down and tore into the pack of jerky I had packed. This gave me some comfort and relaxation as now I had food in my stomach and a fire to keep me warm. Then I heard it snap. My blood went cold as my mind went a million miles an hour as to what could have made that noise. Was it a person? Could it be just some sort of animal like a deer just passing through? What if it was that creature that made that print back down by the river? Whatever it was large and heavy as I heard twigs snapping louder and louder as it drew closer.
Who's out there? Announce yourself!
No answer came.
I have a gun and I'll shoot you if you don't announce yourself.
It was a lie. However, it was a bluff that had gotten a response countless times over the years, however. Still, no answer came. Whatever was making these noises was heavy. It had to have been several hundred pounds for it to make twigs snap that loud, like they were bones being broken with each step and every step. That's also when I noticed just how much distance the creature had covered in only a few seconds. Whatever it was, it couldn't be human. Its pace was too slow for the amount of ground covered, and the steps were too loud and powerful for it to be a person. Some time passed, and before I heard anything else, the steps had stopped just outside of the light my fire produced. Whatever this thing was, it was smart, and understood to stay out of the light where it could see me and I couldn't see it. And there we stayed for what felt like an eternity, unmoving, trying desperately to stretch the little bit of wood I gathered to keep the fire going as long as possible. It was waiting for the fire to die out, but I wouldn't let it. I couldn't let this thing get a chance to attack me in the dark. I knew if it really wanted me, all it had to do was come right into the camp and have me for dinner, but it never came. Some time passed, and the fire had come to its small, desperate final breaths of life when I decided to head into my tent, thinking the creature had moved on to choose another target. That's when I saw it. Those awful amber eyes, cold without emotion. They struck utter fear into me. This creature was massive. It had to have been at least 8-9 feet tall. I couldn't see the full body. It was too dark for that. But those eyes, those cold, terrible eyes will haunt me for the rest of my days. I still see them to this day, every night laying awake and in my sleep. I quickly turned my flashlight on and saw the large, lanky frame of the beast. Its dark black fur covered up what was undoubtedly an impressive and horrifying amount of muscle for its build. That's when I realized the putrid stench that had come with it. In my fear, I had not noticed the foul smell of death and rot that followed this creature. It only took the smallest moment to react and drop down to all fours and let out the lowest, most awful growl I had ever heard. It could be felt in my soul, the anger and hatred this thing possessed could only be described as pure evil incarnate. I quickly hurried into my tent and hid from the gruesome end that was about to come my way, praying not to any specific deity, but anyone or anything out there who would hear me.
I don't want to die. I don't want to die. Please, God, save me. I don't want to die.
I heard the creature approach right up to the tent, sniffing and growling at me. I swear, I don't think my heart had beat a single time. What felt like hours had passed without a sound. Then it was gone. Its howls could be heard off into the distance, reminding me that I was lucky to not end up as its supper tonight. I did not sleep for even a second that night. How could I? I had just experienced the face of pure evil, malice itself given form into our world. I knew I should not be alive, and that the only reason I did not die that night was by its choice and that alone. When dawn broke, I exited my tent and found evidence of the creature all over the campsite. Pieces of fur, paw prints, and claw marks on nearby trees, just to name a few. This trend continued on the trail back to the car. I never made it to the end of the trail. As soon as I packed up camp, I hightailed it out of those woods. I knew if I was to encounter that creature again, I would not be so lucky next time. When I got to the car, I threw my backpack into the back seat and hurried into the front seat of the car, not saying a word. I sat there in silence with my face in my palms. When I looked up, I saw its amber eyes staring at me, looking at me with a pleased expression on its face of terror and trauma that it had just caused me. This thing, it was intelligent. It wasn't after me to kill or for sport. It was after me to make me suffer. Like human suffering was its way of feeding. The look of pleasure on its face, that grin with its long, terrible yellow teeth showing. God, why is such a creature allowed to exist in this world? What grave sin have I committed to be tortured by this thing's existence? I started the car's engine and drove off, driving well over the speed limit. Every now and then at a stop sign, I swear I would see those amber eyes, but each time I looked again, they were gone. When I got to the north side of the park's docks, I waited there patiently as the ferry slowly made its way back. When the crew finally came up to my car, they stopped and remarked how pale I looked, like I had just seen a ghost. I knew they wouldn't believe my story, so I brushed it off as the cold weather taking its toll. I rode home in silence, the radio was turned off, and I was left in my thoughts racing through my mind about the creature. When I arrived home late that night, my wife had already put our daughter to sleep. My son was off at some friend's house playing Halo 3, having a good time. I sat there on the couch, contemplating what had just happened out there on that trip. I decided to head to bed soon after. When I opened the door, my wife Sarah had remarked that I stunk, and if I had been sprayed by a skunk, my blood ran cold. I smelt it now too. That awful putrid stench. I made sure not to make a face and dismissed her calmly and went to take a shower. As I got done, I looked out the window and there it was, illuminated by the streetlight with that insidious grin on its face. It had followed me home and saw the fear on my face. Oh, the joy that must have given it. It's been 2 months since that camping trip. Every night it returns, sometimes brushing up against the side of the house, other times staring in through the window, and others howling in the distance. It made sure I understood it wasn't going anywhere. I had done some digging up online and found out the creature was a Barilla. It had other names as well, like the Dogman and the Beast of Bray Road. It's been 3 more months since I found out what this creature was. I've been in contact with God knows how many experts to try and get rid of this thing from my existence. And with each attempt, the Dogman's pleasure grew, as it knew I was desperate to rid myself of it. I cannot keep living my life this way. When you find that I will be gone by the time you hear this, just know I love you and I'm sorry. I will not give this creature the pleasure it seeks so easily. I am sorry. I love you all. And when you read or hear this, please sell the house and move as far away from Mammoth Cave as you can. When it learns I have killed myself, it will come for one of you next.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.